Good morning, Symphony Church. We're continuing in the book of Joel, and today I'll be reading for us Joel 2, 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. So previously in the book of Joel, we see God reversing the destiny of Judah after all its people cried out to him in repentance. He protects them from imminent danger, he brings life to all the land, and enters into their midst to be with them. That last part, God's presence being with his people, it's such a significant promise from the Lord. It ensured that the hand of the Lord will be over Judah, and he will be working in their hearts. And that's where we start our passage today. As we see in verse 28, in dwelling with Judah, God says that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. In addition to being present in the midst of his people, God plans to anoint them, to empower them with his spirit. Now, this is an awesome image, but it can also be sort of an unclear one. At least for me, what came to mind when reflecting on this pouring out of God's spirit were three main questions. What does this look like? Why do we need this? And who receives this? So first, what does this look like? Well, we get a small glimpse into the effects of this pouring out of the Spirit. God goes on to say in verse 28 that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Clearly, something really powerful is going on. God's people get access to these sort of supernatural abilities. In terms of how these giftings are to be used, however, we can actually look to much later in the biblical narrative. If this passage read sort of familiar to you, it might be because Simon Peter actually quotes it during his sermon to those present at Pentecost. The Spirit of God falls upon them as well, appearing as tongues of fire above the heads of the early saints. This anointing of the Spirit is actually the very beginning of the early church. And in the events that follow, we see those that were empowered by the pouring out of God's Spirit turn their lives radically toward Jesus and following him. Acts 2 shows us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe comes upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is just it's a beautiful description of the type of change that the Holy Spirit brings, as people are convicted to live a life transformed by grace and by faith. And to the people of Judah, God was promising much of the same, that as he pours his spirit out, they will be empowered to take part in this amazing life with God and for God. It's a complete 180 from the disjointed, selfish, hopeless life they were trapped living before God reversed their fate. Now, we understand a bit more about what exactly the pouring out of God's Spirit would look like for Judah, but why do they need God's Spirit? It might seem like a silly question, but if we look at our passage, we see that in addition to revitalizing his people and calling them to lead holy lives, God also wanted to prepare them for a future time. Verse 30 speaks of wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. We see the sun turns to darkness, the moon to blood, and all these catastrophic things happen during what's referred to as the Day of the Lord. This Day of the Lord is referenced previously in Joel, And we know that it'll be a time of great hardship and even tragedy. But the pouring out of the Spirit, this precious help that God gives, it could serve as a lifeline to Judah in times of trouble. When God's people are at their wits' end, when the world as they know it may come crashing down, and all these temporary sources of shelter or peace fall apart, they would be comforted knowing that they have a power that is greater than their own. That it's actually God's wind that's filling their sails. It's God's lamp that's lighting their path. When this day of strife was to come, all who had the Spirit of God would be secured in his protection and care. But who exactly should receive this Spirit? And the answer is everyone. Verse 28 says that God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That means all peoples. This is such an important detail because with it, God is showing that his plan is to save not just Judah, but the world. Verse 32 says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to be part of a lineage. You don't have to have lived a holy and perfect life. You can be the absolute worst. And as long as you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. In the midst of this nation of Judah that was supposed to be set apart, that was supposed to look at the outsider with contempt, Joel relays to us this profound message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a preview into the work that Jesus would do, bridging the gap for not just the Jew, but for the Gentile. As Jesus stretched out his arms on that cross, he embraced every son and daughter, whoever they were, whatever they did, and welcomed them back to the kingdom. Today, the pouring out of God's Spirit unto you might not result in a tongue of fire above your head. But, like for those in that upper room all those years ago, it brings to us the truth that Jesus died for you and for me. That he defied all reality as he rose from the dead and proclaimed victory over sin. The Holy Spirit unveils the mystery of the gospel to us, and it helps us step into a transformed life of serving our God and being in a right relationship with him. As we wrap up our devotional this morning, I hope you know that the Spirit of God is available to you. There are so many times in my journey where I've looked at this abundant life that we're supposed to find ourselves living, and I thought to myself, there's no way my life can look like that. I'm just not strong enough. I'm just not holy enough. But Jesus promises us the Spirit. He promises us that we will have a helper who will give us what we need to live a life pleasing to God, even when our flesh might fail. I hope you know that the Spirit of God is with you this morning. And we're assured in Romans 8 that all who are led by the Spirit of God are certainly children of God. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit can come to all who believe, to every brother and sister in our church as they go about their day, whether they're still in bed or whether they're off to work, whether they're in class, whether they're taking a day of rest. I pray that whatever we're doing, whatever hardships or challenges lay ahead of us, that your Spirit be moving in our hearts and in our lives, or showing us what you want us to see and giving us the words to speak so that we can glorify you, Lord, and give you the praise that you deserve. Father, I pray that we can just know that the Spirit is available to us, that you have given us this helper that can help us to pray, that could help us to know and understand your heart. So Lord, may we take full advantage of that this morning. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.